Story time. The time during the week where we talk about what happened during our campaign. Our favorite moments, what we learned about ourselves, and what we learned about each other. Please join us now as we enjoy story time.
So welcome back, Blockheads, to this week's story time episode. This week, we are picking up where we left off the Voyage of the Unending Sea campaign last time, and that was, if you remember, standing in front of a big image, possibly Nerul himself, looking into his cloak, and we saw a ghost disappearing into there, and we had a decision that we had to make. Were we going to leave, which Duordain wanted to do over and over and over again because he was freaking out? Or do we go forward, which was what Krig wanted to do over and over
yeah,
and
your
over
guide,
again.
Yeah.
So our guide, yep. And so we decided that it was time for us to go forward. We had to convince Duordain to go forward into the wherever these creatures go when they go through the Cloak of Nerul. And we went through, and each of us had a moment of sorting, I guess you could call it. I almost imagine it's a scene with Kylo Ren where we're like strapped to like this weird board thing, and yeah. He's just like peering into our soul, right? There's this demon that's standing in front of us, or this devil that's standing in front of us.
Well, not even just a devil that was in front of you, but so you guys went through this veil and it was completely black all around. Chain devils come out. They start chaining your legs and arms, and then you see Nerul himself in front of you, just staring at you, and you're completely alone. And yeah, then a pit devil comes out. And what did he do to you guys?
He essentially took his long fingers and they like shoved into us. And you just kind of described it as the most excruciating pain we've ever felt in our life. And we started seeing memories flash before our eyes. And you were asking us questions about, you know, what do you think Sonjen's deepest sins are? Not what we think deepest sins in the world are, but what are the sins we've committed in our life?
Yeah, we've asked I basically asked it in the sense of, this is not how Sonjen would perceive his sin, but you as the player, what is, like, as you look at Sonjen, as you look at Duordain, whoever it was, because you each did this individually, what is their, mm-hmm. what is the character's greatest sin? What is the thing that they struggle the most with?
Yeah. And so we, each of us went through that process and they found something. You know, it took a little bit longer for Sonjen because he's not necessarily.
Yeah, there was almost this moment where this demon like looked confused and was looking at you like, what's going on here? This is not right. And there was this moment where I think Sonjen might have in his pain been like, oh, this might not go well for me.
Yeah, right.
I'm too good.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so we eventually, everybody went through that process, some of them a lot quicker than others, and we all felt the same thing after that, though. We felt this searing pain on our forehead, as if something were being scratched deep into our foreheads. Not in our brains, but on our foreheads. And we didn't know what happened, because we don't have mirrors, we couldn't see anything. But then I think we just appeared again in this open field, where we just see hundreds, if not thousands, if not millions of ghosts running around out on this field.
Being chased by some sort of creatures across this field. Right. And then there's this parade of the dead just heading towards these mountains that are across this field. And you guys all kind of look at each other and you see that on each of your foreheads was a marking. And we did this in a fun way. I basically drew it on a index card. I told you guys you couldn't look at your own. And you basically, it was like Polish poker where you smacked it on your forehead and you guys had to describe it. So do you remember the markings of each of the characters?
I think so. I had a spoon on my head. Yep. Duordain had a shield or a plate. I'm not
something
sure exactly what
circular,
it was.
Yeah.
Something
it was
circular.
Basically, it was a burn mark. So some of them weren't as clear of what they were. Yeah.
Yeah. Cedric had a sword. Krig had a black skull.
Which you guys were very suspicious of.
We were very suspicious of right away. Zillicent had an X.
Yep.
And Lyriel had like what looked to be an upside down crown of some kind. Like, I'm not exactly sure what all of them were because, once again, it's a drawing.
Yeah, it's a drawing that I purposely made look unclear because once again, it's a burn mark that's been burned into your head. Yeah.
And so we had all been branded for some reason.
And the interesting thing was you guys were very suspicious of Craig's skull, but you started to look around at the other dead souls that were appearing and you saw that the souls of the dead, all of them had some sort of marking. And except for one of your members of the party, you saw other souls that had the same marking of you.
Yeah, Cedric had the sword. That was pretty common. All of them except for Kriggs and Zillocence were pretty common.
Kriggs, you saw Kriggs, one or two.
Right. Zillocence X, we saw none of.
Which you guys are pretty suspicious of what that meant.
Yeah, yeah. At that point, we're like, either he's going to become a devil because he's so bad, or he's just like marked for absolute death. Yeah. Like, there's just nothing good that's going to happen to him. And so we decided to keep going as the group across. I think there was more squabbling with Duordain to make him keep going, but we kept walking through the plains of Kul, and we walked and we walked and we saw these commotions, these fights happening off to the side, and we saw what looked to be, I mean, I assume we don't know what these creatures are as player characters.
Well, yeah, so what do they look like as characters to you?
They looked like freakish dogs that I think we could see a little bit of red in their eyes.
Yeah, it was
like
fire
kind of
coming
in their,
out of their eyes and even from inside their mouths. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah. And so they started coming our way and we had to have this fight with these dogs that, you know, as a DM, I know they're hellhounds, but in the game, we didn't know what these were until they started biting us. And they packed a little bit of a punch.
And there was one other creature that was being ridden on by an orc-looking character. Do you remember what that creature was?
Yeah, that was a three-headed dog, a Cerberus. Yeah. But we have run into Cerberus in a previous campaign, so each of our thoughts were like, oh, we've totally met this person before. And then you said orc, and it was like, oh, never mind. We haven't met this person before.
Yeah, and so you are in this spirit parade going across, trying to reach the mountains. And basically these hellhounds and this orc rider on the Cerberus start attacking. And this orc rider has this long pike that he's spearing the dead. And he is putting them into his saddlebags, like shoving these spirits into his saddlebags. And so they reach you, and you as a group are fighting these hellhounds and this orc rider on this Cerberus as he is going after, is he going after all of you?
No, he's not. And I don't know if it's because I did a ton of damage to a bunch of them or what, but he came after Sanjin, who, for whatever reason, he was going after me. I don't know if it was because of my symbol on my head or what, but he came after me because he speared me, even though I did quite a bit of dodging, and put me in his saddlebag. And then once they got me, they left. They ran away. And they eventually took me to their camp, where I believe there were other demons around this guy.
Well, these hellhounds like transformed a lot of them. Right. So there was hellhounds that were just moving around this camp, but then some of these hellhounds transformed and you saw that some of them were just demons that had taken the shape of these hellhounds. Yeah, and what were they doing to you guys?
Oh, they were lining us up. In a line, and the orc got off of his Cerberus too and grew in size, if I remember right, and sat down on his throne. So he also transformed. So this is just a place that you can never take anything at face value. What you see is not actually what
you
get.
Well, so this orc grew to a pretty tremendous size, which basically led you as players to believe what?
He was some sort of deity of some kind, underworld deity of some kind that we've never heard of or met before. I mean, my first question was, is this Grumsh?
Yeah, does he have one eye? And
I said, does he have one eye? Yeah. So they lined us up and essentially he just yelled from the throne, it's time to feast. And the ghosts started having flesh ripped off of them, but it would regrow. And slowly but surely Sanjin realized, I'm not actually dead.
If
my flesh is not going to grow. One thing that I wanted to ask, and I forgot to do it when we were there, is I wondered if the symbol that they all had on their foreheads was a spoon.
Well, that
as
was
well.
We had you roll actually a perception check. I don't know if you remember that, but you failed pretty badly, and we basically chalked it up to you were freaking out, and that was what it was for. And so now I have fine with telling you, as a person, you would have looked around and noticed that every one of those souls had, like you, a spoon driven into your forehead.
I figured that was the case when you said it's time to feast. Yeah. I was like, oh,
so let's
that makes sense.
Let's talk about that. So the demon that had like searched your soul was looking for sins of yours, and I asked you what was the most prevalent sin, and so you have moved past this sin in your life, and Sonjin, like as a character, you decided was pretty righteous at this point in his life. So this demon had to find something in your past, and what was it that he found?
It was a life of gluttony and excess where he came from, and basically, the story ends up like he just kind of was doing life, living the, you know, quote unquote good life that his father had raised him to do. And he eventually saw something that made him decide this actually isn't the life that I'm supposed to be living. I need to live a life free of this gluttony. Got into a fight with his dad, basically punched out his dad and left and never went home. He was basically exiled from his family at that point in time.
And this is great because as a DM, I've never heard this before about his past.
Right. You just knew him as a monk who was trying to find whatever he's trying to find out on the voyage of the Unending Sea. And so that was, I'm assuming, why I had a spoon on my head and why I was in this group, why he was going after me. So it wasn't just random people that were being attacked in this field. It was people with the spoons.
The fields of cool are put there for gluttons and those who were born with a silver spoon in their mouth, or that they were always like just focusing on themselves and giving themselves more and more and more. This field is where they're constantly chased, constantly captured, constantly ripped apart and eaten themselves, and then they are released again to once again be chased, captured, ripped apart, eaten by demons and by a gods alike.
Right. So, this moment, the players were like, well, is it just game over for Sonjin? Do we just leave him?
And
they were like, no, we have to go.
Krieg was like, we gotta go.
Yeah, Krieg was like, no, he's done. He's done. We can't come back for him. And, they eventually did come back for me. They shot an arrow at me that had a fly spell imbued onto it. So I picked that up and started flying away from the group, and they all ran back into the field as well.
Because this orc deity gets up and he's pissed and he starts chasing after you.
And a big old, I think it was like the big black veil prevented him from doing that or something.
Yeah,
I don't remember how
that
all worked.
Slime came up from the ground and enveloped this entire camion and shot this vortex of dark up in the air, cutting this god possibly off. But it wasn't quick enough before this orc deity got in the mind of Cedric. And basically, we talked about insanity points last time. Cedric lost some insanity points and told this orc deity who he was and what he was doing there. Even Krieg was like, I don't understand what the heck that black vortex was. I don't get what happened.
Yeah, he had never like seen something like that before. Flying apparently isn't allowed in this place, and this big old rock came out of nowhere and was basically like, you can't do that, go back to the ground. And so we had to fight a rock, which, was something else we had to do, and it's just another thing. It's like, oh, there's just absolutely no hope in this underworld place. And Mitch, what happened during that fight?
Well, finally, like the group caught up to you because you're just fighting this rock on the ground alone after going through all this torment. But together you were able to defeat the rock, and Krieg pulls out from his cloak this vial of holy water and sprays it on the rock as it's turning into this gaseous form, and it just totally disappears. So it seems that maybe Krieg has a way to stop these demons from reappearing and coming back and letting others know what you guys are up to. So you guys decide, you guys, after you had been saved, you guys quickly rejoined the spirit parade and moved to the Mountains of Madness. Before you entered into the Mountains of Madness, you guys went like kind of up the side of the mountain to take some rest, because quite a few of you, especially you, Sonja, and you were You were bleeding. You were in terrible, terrible shape. So you took a took a long rest, which was difficult enough on a mountainside, but on a mountainside in the abyss, I can only imagine. And then you guys were rejoining this parade of the dead to enter into this big cavern in the mountain. And what happened when you guys entered in there?
Yeah, we started walking and we saw people that were mining off to the side
for
whatever reason, whatever they were mining for. Like, I think it was like gems and precious metals and things like that that they were mining for. And there were some devil guards who were keeping track of the people that were coming in. And another person from our group was led off to the side. Duerdane was the guy that's been wanting to leave the whole time is now looking like he is going to be stuck here forever. He's given a pickaxe and was walked down a tunnel, and we were told, keep going, keep going, keep going. Like, you don't belong here. Duerdane went off to the side. He started mining, and somebody from a past campaign, for some of our players, was a really big cameo moment. There in the depths of the Mountains of Madness rested someone, not rested, he's being worked to the bone, was somebody named Zerus, who maybe you could explain Zerus a little bit better and why he's probably in this position. But
yeah, Zerus was a evil character that one of our players, he's in your campaign right now, Jason, played. Yep. And he was a tiefling rogue that was always, always, always concerned about his own wealth and stealing from others. And so I'll reveal to you right now what that symbol, so Chris, you're hearing something that even Casey, your brother, who is Duerdane, doesn't know, but that symbol is actually a coin. And so Zerus himself has a coin, and it's all about wealth. And Zerus is this broken soul at this point, which is very different, because in life he was the most cocky, narcissistic character ever, stealing from his own party members all the time. And so the players who were in that campaign had quite the laughing moment where they realized that it was Zerus standing next to Duerdane, telling him, you better get to work or they're going to come and beat you and flay you, and you don't want that. That's where we left off, with Duerdane somewhere in this mountain mining away from the rest of the party. And so it seems that now it's up to your group again to save one of your members from eternal torment in the abyss.
It's going to be great. We're going to go through it for all of our players, I can see. Except for Zillosin. He's probably just going to be destroyed on the spot.
We'll have to see. So all that being said, one thing that has been constant through this journey is that Sonjin has been able to keep his journal close to his side. And so I imagine that Sonjin wrote down, perhaps in his time of rest, because he's an elf, so he doesn't need to rest. He doesn't need to sleep. So in his time of meditation, perhaps he wrote down some thoughts. And so let's hear about, it's only gone from bad to worse. Let's hear about the thoughts of Sonjin, especially coming from this tormented night in the abyss.
We have been down in the abyss for far too long. I can feel my sanity slowly starting to slip away from me. The longer I am here, the closer I feel to my friends, because they are all I can rely on. I am thankful for that, but I fear that this bond may be harder to break the further we go into this realm, if that should ever become necessary. I find little rest here. I am constantly anxious, as are my friends. I have almost been flayed alive and eaten by devils. My friends all have symbols on their heads as if we were being sorted in some way. I had to relive the moment with my father I would have otherwise wished to have completely forgotten. This place is no place of peace. This is the opposite of what I am looking for in this life. When I get out of here, this will be food for my thoughts. Never again will I see this place, nor will those who I teach. We will be free of this place. Never again will we feel this torture. But may the abyss feel its own torture.
Thanks for listening to this week's Storytime. We hope you've enjoyed these moments from our campaigns, stories about our characters, and what they have done within our worlds. We hope that you have enjoyed your time here, and we hope that you come back again next week for another edition of Storytime.